Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today we have a very special guest. R.K. Arnold serves as president and CEO of MERS Corp, Inc., and is in its subsidiary, Mortgage Electronic Registry Systems. He joined MERS at its inception in 1996 and served as senior vice president and general counsel until his promotion to president in 1998. He is a member of the MERS board of directors. His team has built MERS into the central electronic registry for the mortgage finance industry. Mr. Arnold, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
You just met before the Senate Committee on Banking and Housing, and I watched it. And I realized there was a lot more testimony that you had given them in writing. So I guess my first question was, did the members of that committee have a chance to read that testimony prior to the November 16th meeting?
Well, of course, they're busy, and they had just come in from their campaigns. And they probably did not have a full opportunity to read it. We had been on Capitol Hill for several weeks before that, briefing their staff, though.
Okay. So it just seemed by some of the line of questioning, they probably hadn't read it. And I guess in some of the problem might be if they read it, do you think that they would fully comprehend it anyway?
Well, of course, in our view, it's not particularly complicated, but over, you know, the period of weeks here where we've been trying to explain it to people, I guess while I don't think it's really complicated, it may not be as intuitive as people were expecting.
I think sometimes when you do it on a regular basis, and this business has been around since 1997 or 1996 and has gained momentum until, I mean, right now, how many loans are involved in the MERS system nationally?
Well, there are two numbers that get thrown around. There are over 31 million on the system that are active.
Okay.
The other number that you will read is 66 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that number is the number of loans that have been registered since inception, but that would include payoffs.
Okay. I guess my point is that this didn't sneak up on the system. In other words, this has been a service that started in 97. And at some point, you reached a million loans and then five, and it must have been because there was a worthwhile service being created.
Yes, and I remember back in the early days when we realized that we had a steady flow of 50 loans a day.
Okay.
And then that became 500 and eventually 5,000. And ultimately, 36,000 a day.
It's sort of like that commercial that you see that some of these people working at the widget company, and they were excited that they were selling 10, and all of a sudden it sold 7,000, and they went, "Oh my gosh!" So it grew and it grew and grew. Now, when it grows and it starts handling the mortgaging or the whatever service you provide, and we will cover that. It has to have gone through some filters of other legal departments. So before you're being allowed to take on, let's say, a major lender's business, you'd have to think that they look at that paperwork and go, okay, there's a problem, or it seems to be fine.
Yeah, and of course, each company that we added were, each one was a selling process, so you had to penetrate from a sales standpoint and then eventually get to the point where they wanted to register their loans, but then you always have to go through whatever due diligence that company wants to go through. If I could just mention, we really do two things. One, we operate a nationwide database where our members use the system to keep track of which one of them is servicing a particular loan. And to make that system accurate, they put us in the land records as the mortgagee. So that's signed by the borrower at the closing. The borrower signs a mortgage making MERS the mortgagee. And that means that all the mail comes to MERS, all the legal mail, anything having to do with the property itself from a legal standpoint would come to MERS.
Kind of so, like being a trustee of a trust, something akin to that.
It falls into that category.
Okay.
And we then turn the mail into electronic form, and we forward the physical part, but that's snail mail that follows. But what we really do is put it through high-speed scanners, and we shoot it out electronically, and instead of going to the mail room, it goes directly to the inbox, the email inbox of whoever's been designated by that company. So it's a very efficient way to deal with the property. But at all points, the MERS company is in the land records, recorded in the property records.
And that became one of the big issues. Is I think people just don't understand the concept of how that could remain consistent while the owner of the loan might in fact change.
Yes, and part of it is this fundamental notion of what the land records are for. Land records are, you know, they of course are where you file your deed so that you protect yourself against the world as far as your ownership of that piece of property. But when it comes to liens, it's a bit different because all those records were intended to do, and those records were, or those the concept of recording was really created by bankers so that they could lend money. The concept of the land records is really so that a lien is reflected against a piece of property. It was never the case that would tell you who actually had that lien. So it has really, from the very beginning, there have been agents that have served in the land records on behalf of lenders and whoever else might have that lien. And that's really what MERS is doing there. We're serving as a common agent for all 3,000 of our members.
Okay. Now you keep track of servicing. Do you also keep track of who is the beneficial, who has the beneficial interest, who owns the loan?
Yes. And that has been opened up in the last 18 or 20 months. We've opened that up to the public as well.
Okay, that's important. Okay. So if somebody's wanting to negotiate a loan modification, a private individual will be able to access your system and find out who the last owner is of the note.
Yes, and that is as it's reflected on our system. And that part of it is not as standard as the servicing part of it.
Okay, that's an important... Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, you might find that the note is held by a trustee, you might find that it is in a numbered trust. Well, see, those are one and the same, except one way it's reflected in the name of the trust, the other is in the name of the trustee.
Okay.
So when it comes to where that note is, you have an additional player in there called a custodian.
Yes.
And, you know, so if someone is wanting to know where is that note physically, well, it's probably with a custodian who is not the trustee. So it becomes very complicated when you're talking about the note. The servicing, that's very straightforward and it's very, very accurate because when a servicer changes on a loan, the old servicer wants to not receive mail anymore because they're not going to get paid to process it. and the new servicer needs to get that mail because they are going to be paid to process it. So what we've seen, a good example, a very large example recently was Taylor Bean and Whitaker, very large servicer, went out of business. And once the FDIC or whatever regulator was involved moved in there and found a successor, which oftentimes they have that before they even move in, that can be changed on the MERS system, and the mail will go to the new servicer instantaneously.
Okay.
In years past, that mail might have never gotten to the right location.
Okay.
So it's a benefit to homeowners who were involved in that Taylor Bean and Whitaker thing. It's a benefit to the financial institutions. It's a benefit to the regulators.
I think the concern is, and I think you probably realize that it has some legitimacy to it unless they're very familiar with your system, is that you have two worlds where things are recorded. It would be very similar to the concept of having ownership records kept at the county recorders and also a company similar to MERS, to where it would be an alternate choice. And this thought just popped in my head. Do you have any fledgling competitors that provide a similar service that you do? So MERS has 31 million. Is there somebody that has a million trying to become your competitor? Is there a third branch of information? I'm just curious.
I think the answer to that is no.
Okay.
And the reason is that MERS was created because the mortgage industry realized that they needed to have one company do this.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so they created the industry utility. We call it an industry utility called MERS. Now, with regard to the land records, those, we wouldn't be able to have a MERS without the land records.
Correct.
So I think one of the things that disappoints me in all of this is that someone has suggested that we're an alternative. What we are is a system that keeps track of servicers. The county recorders is a system that keeps track of liens.
Well, okay, and it keeps track of the original lien and the sequential lien holder if it's recorded in there. And I guess that's the point I really do want to ask is when MERS is taking care of the record of the who's servicing the loan and the loan is sold, the system is definitely different than what we're used to, or at least, you know, the traditional system where an assignment would be recorded at the county recorders. How is that handled within the MERS system?
And it's an important point. You get the good and the bad always. So the way it's handled with MERS is that those assignments are eliminated. They're not done anymore. There's no such thing as an electronic assignment on the MERS system. The concept is that now MERS is in the land records as a common agent for all 3,000 of our members. And that switches, but what doesn't switch is the fact that MERS is in the land records. So on the mortgage, not only does it say that MERS is the mortgagee, and that's signed by the borrower, but there's also an 18-digit number called a mortgage identification number on that mortgage, and there's a telephone number. So with that number or with your name or your property address or the Social Security number, your Social Security number, you can input that using that phone number, or you can go in to the system over the web, MERSinc.org, and go in and search and find out who the current servicer is. In all of those scenarios, MERS is still the mortgagee. So there are no assignments. And what that did was, in the years before MERS, those assignments would have mistakes in them. They would be recorded in the wrong order. They would be not done sometimes, because there were assignments that were created with no intent to record them. And that is not a problem that the county recorders had. That's a problem that the industry had. And so the industry's attempt to solve that was to put one company in the land records on behalf of all of them.
Okay. So MERS is the mortgagee but not the lender.
That's correct.
Okay.
In fact, to be specific about that mortgage, it says in the grantor clause, the very first paragraph, or first substantive paragraph, it says MERS is the mortgagee as nominee for the lender and the lender's successors and assigned.
Yeah.
And then there's another paragraph that defines who the lender is.
Who is keeping track of the sequential title of the loan ownership then?
Well, it doesn't change in the land records because the MERS holds the lien in the land records. The question is, who is MERS holding that lien for?
Yes.
And you can look on the MERS system and find out who the servicer is, and you can look on the MERS system and find out where the note is.
Okay. And in the event of a foreclosure, you know, title companies, and that's one of the things that's usually not mentioned, title companies are involved in all the foreclosure processes. I'm sure that they're being asked to basically pull up some kind of a chain to make sure that this lender, in fact, has the right to foreclose. Is that accurate or not?
Well, the foreclosure is typically done by law firms that specialize in foreclosures. And MERS, and I'm glad we're getting into this, Bruce, because when the mortgage is recorded in the land records, there is a paragraph that says that the borrower acknowledges that MERS can foreclose.
Correct.
We think that has dwindled off to the point where it's far less than 10% of all mortgages are probably foreclosed in the name of MERS. But MERS has rules, if it is involved in a foreclosure, which are considerably more strict than many states. One of our main rules is that if a loan is going to be foreclosed in the name of MERS, the promissory note must be presented in the foreclosure. And there are many states that don't have a requirement like that.
What about an affidavit of that note?
And we also prohibit an affidavit of a lost note affidavit.
Right.
So there's no way around that requirement. And that's one of the reasons that a company would not want to foreclose in the name of MERS.
Okay. Now, since you're the nominee and they want to foreclose, what is necessary for them to be able to have that right?
They would have to, if they're not going to present the note, then they're going to have to assign it away from MERS. So at that point, it would leave the MERS system. There would be an assignment recorded in the county land records assigning it from MERS to themselves.
What actually is being transferred in that document? Because I think that's an important issue. You must have had something at MERS that's necessary for them to get back from you. What technically is that? Is that legal title?
That's legal title. That's their raw legal title that is reflected in the land records. And that's the one that's the title that is holding the place. It's making sure that no one can prime that. No one can get ahead of that in the land records.
Okay.
It's transferring that position. It's a conveyance of real property, and it's recorded in the public land records, and whoever has that position, their outstanding debt is ahead of anyone who would come in after that.
We've only got 5 minutes left. There's just rumors that are floating around the industry. So maybe if we can just tackle some of those. There's attorneys that have their clients fully believing they're going to end up with free and clear houses because of some flaw in the process. So I guess my question is: Has anyone, to your knowledge, won the right to have a free and clear house and the notes disappeared?
Have not seen that happen yet.
Okay, so that's rumor number one, and that's significant because there are people that are definitely pursuing that. One of the things that I was amazed at was a statement by, there was a woman on the panel that talked about innumerable people losing their homes or being foreclosed on without without any reason, and then pressed that innumerable number changed to three. And so there's an inconvenient truth that people that are being foreclosed on haven't made payments. Is usually that basically the bottom line?
Well, I think even those three were
of course
seriously delinquent.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? And this is the frustration of somebody that's I'm a lender, and it seems that we've forgotten that there are any rights attached to being a lender. And I guess I'm concerned about unintended consequences. So let's say that somehow MERS was declared to really not have taken care of title correctly or whatever. What would the consequences be? I mean, if you had 31 million loans all of a sudden somehow become unattached to the real estate or something, it boggles the mind that obviously to me that problem cannot exist. So I guess let's cut to the solution. What do you think is going to happen ultimately to solve the problem so you don't have to be in depositions for the rest of your life?
Well, I don't think that there's any question that you've got a secured loan. Both the lender and the debtor, the borrower, went in at closing and they signed a mortgage or a deed of trust, as it is in California, and the money was lent. That's one transaction. The mortgage or deed of trust is recorded. That's signed by the borrower. It's in the land records, and it names MERS. So you've got a secured loan against that property. As far as where the note is, that note needs to be produced if there's going to be a foreclosure. And I think what ignited all this is this notion that maybe these robo-signers, people were out there signing documents without reading them. But I don't see that that has anything at all to do with the security of the property. It does have to do with some sloppy foreclosure procedures.
And that was acknowledged by the lenders that were on the panel as well, or in the same situation that you were in being questioned, that they acknowledged that there were flaws in the process. And those can be changed and corrected. And it just seems like it's some of the lawyers hope that it can't be corrected and therefore a foreclosure can't occur. I just think about you have to be careful what you wish for, because I can't imagine lending going forward if that ever happened.
Yes, sir. As I said before, those recording statutes are all there at the behest of the lenders. They will not loan money against a piece of property without having a security interest in that property. So it is recorded in the land records. I'm not able to see how there's any way to get around that. But that doesn't mean that there weren't some sloppy foreclosures. And you're right, the testimony was, and I think that the fact is that these servicing companies are trying their best to straighten that out. We wish it had not happened. MERS, as I said, is a huge believer that the note should be produced at the time of foreclosure. We don't make any money on foreclosure at all, and the decision to foreclose is made by the servicer. So we're very disappointed to see that that there may have been some sloppiness there, but we're encouraged that they all seem to be taking a look at it and trying to straighten it out.
Well, Mr. Arnold, we're running out of time. Thank you so much for taking time from a very busy schedule to join us. You can see at their website, www.mersinc.org, a copy of his testimony. Mr. Arnold, thanks again for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Bruce. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.